Good morning. Have you noticed every January Britain seems to wake up to an army of tracksuited individuals pounding the pavements doing battle with the intransigent national waistline? And suddenly your neighbours next door, they are seen, and it's no fun if they are not seen, in their slinky designer sportswear, popping off to the park for their daily workout. Now, at this point, I need to put my hands up to a personal reality. My days as a citizen of Slim City are way in the past. In politically correct terms, my waistline is becoming spatially challenged. But nonetheless, it is great to see kids today eating Jamie Oliver style. It really is. And being rescued from burgers and chips in a society where shops seem to cater preferentially for teenage stick insects. And even medical care sometimes these days seems to be less prescribed by need as it is proscribed by your body mass index. However, as a Christian, I've learnt to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who have a strong dislike of bathroom scales. But wouldn't it be nice if dealing with our physical excess baggage was the only kind of personal challenge that we faced? But for many of us, we find that there are spiritual and mental and emotional forms of baggage that we all carry around. And we need a kind of detox in those areas as well. Because when we get right down to where most of us, where we really live, we make the great discovery that while many of us give mental assent and even spiritual commitment to some of the highest possible Christian doctrines and spiritual truths, many of us are regularly defeated when it comes down to common everyday areas of life where we live. You see, in many people's lives, there are hidden hurts, there are unmet needs, there are repressed emotions, which can prevent us from maturing in a balanced way, and very often also prevent us from growing as Christians in the way that we should. And those painful experiences, they're not automatically evicted or transformed by an experience of Christian conversion, or even by being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we become born again and we receive Christ into our lives, our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Our failures, our shortcomings, our acts of selfishness, and our rebellion against God, they're blotted out from His record. Praise God for that. But we are not automatically or instantly made perfect. We're not transformed in a moment into perfectly functioning personalities. Things like fear and anger, anxiety and failure, they don't instantly vanish on becoming a Christian. And how confused people get when we give the impression that if they get saved or if they get filled with the Holy Spirit, that will automatically cure them from the legacy of all the painful baggage of their past. Because there can be some dimensions of our life that are not necessarily changed as we would hope, as we grow in grace in other respects. And for years, I lived with stuff that never seemed to get sorted in my mind, despite my Christian faith. In fact, this inner baggage can often be the biggest hindrance to spiritual growth, for the simple reason that you cannot cut yourself off from your own history. And it can deeply affect your present and inhibit you from being the kind of person that God wants you to be. Unresolved issues in our past can poison the present and rob us of our future. And some of us find it difficult to face our tomorrows because we're haunted by our yesterdays. I think we have all read the kind of harrowing newspaper stories of serial murderers like Fred West, who murdered people and then had to hide the bodies. And his neighbors thought he was a little odd, but they had no idea of all the bodies that were buried on his property. And when the tragedy was uncovered, it shocked the world. Now, most of us, thankfully, we're not keeping dead bodies on our property. But we do bury our feelings. And eventually we run out of space for all these unresolved feelings. And they come to the surface or they catch up with us in some other way. Perhaps years after the events that caused them. And we find that our present is being influenced and shaped by hurts and disappointments from the past. A very popular TV series which is on at the moment, and I guess many of you will be familiar with, is Desperate Housewives. And there in Wisteria Lane, all the lawns are beautifully manicured. The houses are photogenic. And everyone smiles and says, "I'm fine," when they're asked how they are. But the series began with a suicide behind one of those neatly painted front doors. And each week the viewer discovers yet another dark secret behind another perfect front door in Wisteria Lane. I think it's one of the best commentaries there is on modern life in the Western world. Each one of us lives in Wisteria Lane. The lawns are kept manicured, and the doors are nicely painted. The white picket fence denotes our border with the outside world. But behind every door, there's a dark secret that no one else in the street knows. And we desperately spend our lives managing this secret so we don't ever have to talk about our feelings. And what I'm talking about this morning is not Dr. Freud Ward at work. This is not psychiatry or psychology. One of the great tendencies today is that a lot of people like to dig around in their past in order to be able to say, "Well, you see, my parents, or my circumstances, or my teacher, or my family, or that accident made me what I am today. And if only this or this or this had not happened, then I would be okay." Now, that isn't spiritual detox. I'm not advocating digging around trying to find some new scapegoat for our behavior or the state of our relationships in life. I wish just this morning to apply some biblical principles to the way that you and I tick as human beings. so that we can see areas where, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to take responsibility, where we need to change, where we need to forgive and be forgiven, where we need to be healed, and where we need to daily discipline ourselves. Because this is an area that is unthought about and untalked about from most church pulpits. But the Bible's very concerned with spiritual maturity in every dimension. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks about us being built up so that we will no longer be spiritual or emotional infants, but that we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And in another well-known passage, that great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, right in the middle of it, Paul again speaks about growing up, about leaving childhood and reaching adulthood or maturity. And he says in verse 11, "When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." And the verb of that sentence in the Greek is katageo. It's an extremely strong word, and it's used by Paul in many of his letters. And its strongest meaning means to destroy, to annihilate, to put to death. It's the word which is used in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, for example, about crucifixion, the putting to death of the old self. At its weakest, katargeo means to disengage from, to disconnect from. But the main meaning of this word is to render inoperative, to render inactive or powerless, to take the meaning or the significance out of something, to free it, in a sense, that it no longer has a hold on us. Katargeo means that after we've experienced this, whatever has taken place no longer has that binding, powerful effect on us. It's rendered inoperative or ineffective as far as my life is concerned. So it's a very strong word. And so what Paul is saying now is this: when I became an adult, when I grew up into this maturity or this love that he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13, I put off childish things. They didn't just fall away by themselves. I had to put them away. I had to katargeo them. I had to render them inoperative and ineffective in my life. Now that's what's involved in spiritual detox. Now for many, many years, I sort of thought that spiritual maturity was a kind of a natural process. That if I just read my Bible and prayed regularly and went to church, God would do the rest. That maturity more or less took place automatically, simply as a result of my relationship with Jesus. And I had no understanding how things in my past had shaped my mental image of God, how they had shaped my self-esteem, how they had impacted on my relationships. But I regularly found myself in situations where I didn't cope well, or else I was avoiding certain circumstances where I knew I would find it emotionally difficult. And if I hadn't heard preaching and teaching on these issues, I would still be carrying that baggage. Having said that, I know I've still got battles to fight. This is a process rather than an event. And we have a spiritual enemy who's unrelenting. But at least now I have got a clearer picture of how I have to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit within to detox those things in my life that need to be got rid of. You see, it's not really what happens to us in life that matters, but how we respond to what happens to us. Nelson Mandela was imprisoned by the racist South African authorities, and he was abused for the best part of 3 decades. But this man, largely due to what was inside him, he went from being a prisoner to president in one leap. He didn't allow himself to become poisoned by hatred. Even though he was abused horrifically and he would have been entirely justified, in a sense, in doing so. But he has katageoed his past and forgiven his enemies. And those are the 2 keys to detoxing our past. Katageo those painful things and forgive our those people who may have inflicted pain upon us in whatever way. The Apostle Paul, he was another man who was beaten and abused for a crime. In his case, for becoming a Christian. But he applied the same principle. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says this: "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." It's not easy to let go of our past, to katageo those toxic poisons in our yesterdays. But it is possible and it is necessary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul outlines a whole long catalogue of past experiences. How he was imprisoned and flogged and stoned and beaten with rods, shipwrecked 3 times. How he had to face innumerable dangers, more than enough to emotionally and spiritually scar anyone. But one of the greatest statements in the Bible, I think, is made by Paul when he says, "None of these things move me." And if you just flip over in your Bible and the book of Acts, where he's given, at the end of a list of his past experiences and difficulties and his expected future difficulties. Acts chapter 20, in verses 22 to 24, he says, "And now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." And this is what it says in the King James Version: "But none of these things move me." Bad things are almost certain to happen to you sometime or another. The question is, will you allow these things to move you? In other words, will those things from the past end up being what shapes you in your present. Somebody once said there is no future in your past. And some of us may need to let go the things from our past which are weighing us down today. Because many people have allowed the past to rob them, spiritually speaking, in a sense, of all sorts of things in their destiny that God has for them. One lady I heard about some years ago had been very severely damaged in her innermost being because she had been sexually abused when she was a little girl. She was just 6 years old. And she was now classified as a chronic schizophrenic. And it was said that she would never leave hospital. And her pastor came to visit her, and having talked frequently with her, because always in her counseling sessions, she'd gone back to the time when she was 6 years old. He came to the point where he gently told her that if she was going to be well, she needed to forgive and also to katargeo her self-pity. And she was very, very angry because it wasn't her fault what had happened to her. But you see, it's not so much our situation that is important. It is our reaction to the situation. And those reactions can be dealt with by the Spirit of God. And so she began to repent of her self-pity and tell God that she was willing to be made willing to forgive her abuser. Within a year, she was out of hospital and healed. And she's now a missionary for Christ. And the last I heard, she was serving God in the Arctic. And people said she would never leave hospital. And when it comes to detoxing your past, one of the things you may well have to let go of is unforgiveness. It's very probable that you will have to forgive someone who has hurt you. And I know from my own experience that forgiveness is rarely easy. And you keep having to reinforce it and come back to it. But it's necessary if we're going to get rid of the toxin that unforgiveness produces within us. You know, in Africa, one of the hardest animals to catch is the little ring-tailed monkey. But for the Zulu people, it is actually quite simple. They've been catching this little animal with ease for a number of years. And the method that the Zulus use is it's based on their knowledge of the animal. And their trap is nothing more than a melon, which is attached or growing on a vine. That's actually a baboon, but it's the nearest I could get. But the seeds of this melon are a favorite of the monkey. And knowing this, what the Zulus do is they cut a hole in the top of the melon, which is just big enough for the monkey to insert his little paw to reach the seeds inside. And the monkey will stick his paw in and grab as many of the seeds as he can and then start to withdraw it. But he cannot get his paw out because he's clutching so many of the seeds that it makes a fist that's too big for him to get it out of the hole. And the monkey will pull and pull, and it will screech and fight, and it'll have this struggle with the melon for hours. And actually, The monkey's free to go at any time. All he has to do is let go of the seeds, and his empty paw will come out of the melon. But he won't let go. He just won't. And so the Zulus sneak up, and they nab him and kill the monkey. Now Satan does exactly the same thing to people. But he uses those past hurts instead of the melon seeds. Are you with me? And so when we refuse to let go of the past, when we refuse to forgive, his plan to steal and kill and destroy is complete. One of the biggest consequences of unforgiveness is that the past will then still rule you. It's virtually impossible to press on positively into the future whilst you're still living in unforgiveness, because the unresolved relationships will still have control over your life. And God doesn't mean for any of us to go on living like that. And rather, he wants to give us healing and wholeness. And it's only as we katargeo those toxic things from the past will we grow up into him in every way. And God's intention is that we let his redeeming grace break the chains of the past, and then his reprogramming grace changes the behavior patterns of the present. And I hope that that will be our intention too, whatever it may cost. Can I invite you to stand as we pray? I'm going to just have a moment or two to pause.